Morning. I feel in need of a prayer this morning, so let's just all rise. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you this morning. We bow before you in front of a big and mighty God, Lord. Lord, your word teaches us that this earth is your footstool. It teaches us that you know the number of hairs on our heads. You know somewhere in this country, if a sparrow falls dead, you will know this. And Father, you know the needs that we have in our lives. We just pray, Father, that these needs could be met through you, Lord. Father, help me this morning with my nervousness, my staggering tongue, Lord. Guide and lead me. Father, we also think of the gathering in Dayton this morning. Be with them, Lord. Guide them there, lead and bless and keep them. We think of the ones in Bolivia, Lord, also. Be with them. Father, we think of the widows and the widowers this morning. As they rise this morning and are grieving over lost ones, Father, be with them also. We thank you. Father, we just commit this service into your hands. Amen. This morning, Brother Paul had a question for us. He said, how precious is the blood of Christ to us? And I had to think of the song that we just got done singing. I would love thee. The last verse or the last sentence there, it says, while I love thee, I will never my Redeemer's blood forget. So let's let the Lord write that on our hearts this morning, that we may never my Redeemer's blood forget. You know, we go through life sometimes, and there's times we get a little sloppy. And there's times that we lose sight of Him. But let us never my Redeemer's blood forget. Well, this morning, I don't have a long message this morning. It's what the Lord laid on my heart is discerning God's will. Discerning God's will in our lives. You know, when I think of my prayer life and I think of your prayer life, there's many times that we pray to mold and shape us to the image of Christ. And to and somewhere in this prayer, we might say, thy will be done. And I had to think about this many times. How do we discern the will of God in our lives? I have a lot more questions on this than answers. But yet, this is what the Lord laid on my heart to talk about this morning here. I like the verse in Romans 12. It says there, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, this morning, I think if we would just go up and down the rows here and ask this question, do we want to be in God's will? I think we'd get the same answer from every brother and sister, that yes, we want to be in God's will. So how do we know? How do we know if we're in God's will or not? Decisions. We are constantly making decisions. As we go through life, as we go through a day, we are constantly making decisions. Some may be small and some a little bigger. But these decisions have a lot to do. Are we asking the Lord for His will in these decisions? Or do I sometimes make decisions and ask the Lord to endorse it? I know I've done that. I've worked too fast on something and actually got excited about something and never really took the time to pray and fast through something like that. How about the things that we purchase? Decisions we make, do they draw us closer to God? Or do they, the things we purchase and the decisions we make, are they drawing us closer to God? Or are they putting us further away? I thought of 10 things, and I wrote them down here. Kind of a checklist that I have, that I should have in my heart before I make a decision. The first one I got wrote down. Now these aren't necessarily in order. You can put them in the order that you feel is best. But the first one I got wrote down here, are we right with God? Are we right with God? It's hard to discern God's will if we are living in sin. It's not going to work, I can tell you that. And with that tied, I got tied in is a clear conscience. Is my conscience clear? In Acts 24:16 says, and herein do I exercise myself to always have a conscience void of offense towards God and towards man. Is my conscience clear? That was number one. Are we right with God? Number two, do we always put God first in our decisions, as we make decisions? Do we put God first? Now, I had to think of Jesus. I had to think, now there's probably the best, one of the best examples there is. Even at a very young age, age of 12, Jesus, his thinking, his will was to be in his Father's will. We can read this different times. And then Luke 2, I think I'm just going to read it. It's a simple story here. But it's from Luke 2, from 41 to 52. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the fest of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among the kinfolks and the acquaintance. And when they found him not, they returned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, how is it that ye sought me? Wist not that I must be about my father's business. So you can tell right there already at 12 years old, that he wanted to be under the will of his father. And I had to think about it. If us dads, if we are walking in the will of the Lord, it's going to make it so much easier for our children that are coming behind to walk in the first of their earthly father's will. And then as they get older, to accountability, to submit to the Heavenly Father's will. It's just going to make it so much easier on them if we can, as fathers, if we can walk in His will. And in the garden, when Jesus prayed, before He was crucified, He prayed, saying, "O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou will." There was another example where he wanted what his Father wanted. He wanted to be in his will. Now, I don't think Jesus was rebelling against his Father's will when he asked that the cup of suffering and the separation be taken place there. I don't think he was rebelling because he said, "Nevertheless, not my will, but thou as thou wilt." That was number two. Always put God first. Number three, seek the lost. I think it's the Lord's will that we seek the lost. It is not the Lord's will that any soul be lost. When Jesus was lost in Jerusalem, they searched for him for 3 days. Today, if someone is lost spiritually, what kind of time and effort do I put in? 2 Peter 3:9, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but they all should come to repentance." Now this morning, if we would have got word last night that one of these children in here would have been lost, either in the woods or in a big cornfield, or maybe somebody would just pick them up, there would have been lots of effort put in to find that child, just like they did in Jesus' time. They searched for him for 3 days. Now, I don't think this church house this morning would be near as full as it is now if one of these children would be lost, because there would be a lot of people out looking for them. There would be dogs. The police would be involved. And that's literally lost. So how do I look at the spiritual lost? What kind of efforts, money, or time do I put in for the spiritual lost? That was number three, seek the lost. Number four, fast and pray. Fast and pray as to do what the Lord's will is. Perhaps we have a burden on our hearts, even now. Maybe we got a burden this morning with a brother or a sister, or maybe it's somebody we work with, or maybe it's a neighbor. And it's a tough situation and we don't know how to handle it. And we want what the Lord wants. We want the Lord's will in this. So we can fast and pray that the Lord will guide us in this. Number five, submit joyfully. You know, after fasting and praying, the answer we get sometimes might not be what we was expecting. So we're going to have to submit joyfully to whatever he lays on our hearts. I had to think of like going on a mission. Can something be right for one person? Can the door be open for one person and not for the other? And I think it can. Maybe it's like, just an example, like going on a mission or something like that. The door may be open for one person, but not for the other, for one reason or another. Number six, by using God's Word, search the Scriptures. Does what we are about to do measure up with the Scripture? The decisions we make, does it measure up? Will it draw us closer to God or take us further from Him? How will it affect our children? Let it affect our children. Let's let this, if we're walking in His will, this is going to affect our children in a positive way. If we're not walking in His will, it's going to go the other way. But let's, if we're walking in His will, where He wants us to be, It'll affect our children in a good way, in a positive way. That was number six, by using God's Word. Number seven, believe in God's promises. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. We can believe that. If we're walking in His will, He's going to take care of us. He's going to take us down the road what's best for us. It may not seem best to us at the time, but He's going to lead us down the road that's best for me. Number eight, seek counsel from faithful brothers. I know that's something that I don't do enough of. Proverbs 15:22 says, without counsel, purposes are disappointed, but in a multitude of counselors, they are established. I couldn't help think but getting together as brothers in a brother's meeting. There's something laid out, and we can counsel about this, and we can pray over this, for we want the Lord's will in this. I know of families that have, I don't know how to say this, started out and maybe in the conservative churches, and they keep taking these steps, but yet they say they're in the Lord's will. And I want to be careful how I say this, but by their fruits, it doesn't seem that way. And number nine, that was number eight, seek counsel from faithful brothers. Number nine, peace. Do I feel peace about my decision? Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. That's in Isaiah 26:3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. The perfect peace, the perfect will of God. I know that's our desires here this morning. And the last one, by listening for and to his voice, the Spirit of God, in Isaiah 30:21, there it says, and thy ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. When you turn to the right, when you turn to the right hand, and when you turn to the left. That's very comforting words there. And John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. No, the Lord's not going to let us hanging, in a sense. If we search for His will in our lives, no matter what it is, He's going to give us answers. I believe He is, whatever His will is. I think, in closing, I'm going to share a little what they read at my father's funeral. They read more than this, but for some reason this really stuck to me, and it was comforting to me to hear this. It's in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 14 through 18. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. And we can do this. And I think we got situations around us today where we can comfort one another with these words. The words we just got done reading. May God bless you.